السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 37 to 42 of Surah An'am today. We're going to begin the word meanings, inshallah, starting with ayah number 37. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa and qalu, they said, lo why la nad nuzila, was sent down. And the second last letter has a kasra here, so that shows us that this word is passive. Okay, so nuzila, was sent down, alayhi, upon, he, him, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ayatun, a sign or an ayah. Min, from, rabbihi, rabb, lord, master, creator, sustainer, he, his. Qul, say. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says qul in the Quran, he specifically addresses Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qul, say, inna, indeed, Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qadirun, is all able, is one powerful, ala, upon, an, that, yunazzila, he sends down, he gradually sends down, ayatan, a sign, wa and lakinna, but akthara, most, hum, them. So akthara hum, most of them, la, not, ya'lamun, they know. Ilm is the root word, ayn lam mim, and that means knowledge. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So ya'lamun, they know. Wa and ma, not, min, from, dabbatin, any moving creature or a crawling creature, an animal, fi, in, al-ardi, the earth or land. Wa and la, nor, ta'irin, a bird, yatiru, it flies. So yatiru comes from the word ta'ir, which means a bird. And the ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and this word becomes a verb. So yatiru, it flies, bi, with, janahai. Janahai is basically janahain. Okay, but we add the suffix hi at the end, so we drop the noon. Janahai, two wings. He, it. So bijanahaihi, with its two wings, illa, except. And this is why the word ma in the beginning did not mean that or what. Wama min dabba in the beginning, it meant and not from any creature in the earth, and nor any bird, it flies, bijanahaihi, with its two wings, illa, except. Okay, it's because of this illa that the ma means not. Okay, umamun, nations or groups, species, amthalukum, amthal, like or similar, kum, to all of you. Ma, not, farratna, farrat, neglected. Na, we. So farratna, we neglected. Fi, in, al-kitab, the book, min, from, شيء, anything. ثم, then, إلى, to, only to. ربهم, ربي, Lord, him, theirs. يحشرون, they all will be gathered. حشر is the root word, ha, sheen, ra, and that means to be gathered. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So it means they, and the ya begins with a dhamma on it. So this is passive. So it's not that they're going to gather themselves. They're not going to gather there themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather them. So they will be gathered. So ila, only towards Rabbihim, their Lord. Yuhsharun, they all will be gathered. Wa, and. Alladhina, those who. Kadhabu, they belied. Kadhiba is the root word, kaf dalba, and that means a lie. So kadhabu is a verb. It ends in vowelif, so we know it's in the third person and it's plural. So kadhabu, they belied, or they rejected. Be with ayat, signs, verses. Na, ours. Summun, one's deaf. Wa, and bukmun, one's dumb, meaning ones who can't speak. Fi, in al-dhulumat, the darknesses. Man, whomever. Yasha'i, yasha', he wills. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yudlilhu, he leaves him astray. Dalal is the root word. We've covered that word before. Dod lam lam, and that means straying. Okay, to go astray. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yudlil, he lets go astray. Who, him. Wa, and. Man, whoever. Yasha, he wills, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. Yaj'alhu, yaj'al. Ja'ala is the root word, and that means to make or take. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yaj'al, he makes. Who, him, meaning that person. Ala, upon. Siratin, a path or way. Mustaqim, one straight. Qul, say. Again, this is a command, and it's singular, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ara'aytakum, did ra'ayta, you see. Ra'a means to look at something, ta means you, so ra'ayta, you see, you saw and considered. Kum, all of you. Okay, so ara'aytakum, you saw yourselves in. If ataakum, ata means to come to. Okay, so ata came, kum to all of you. Adabu, a punishment or torment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aw, or atatkum, atat came, kum to all of you. As-sa'atu, sa'a, the hour, meaning the day of judgment. Aghairallahi, do, this is used to ask a question. Aghaira, other than, besides. Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So aghairallahi, do then, do other than, or besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tad'oon, you all call. Du'a is the root word, and that means to call or invoke. Ta in the beginning means you. And una ending makes this word plural. So tad'oon, you all invoke or call. In, if, kuntum. Kun, are, tum, all of you. Sadiqeen, ones truthful. This word comes from sidq. Sad dal qaf, and that means the truth. Sadiq means one who is truthful. An ina ending makes this word plural. So sadiqeen, ones truthful. Bal, rather. Iyahu, iya, only, who, him. Him refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tada'una, you all call or invoke. Fayakshifu, fa, so. Ya tells us this word is in the third person, so it means he, and that refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And kashafa is the root word here, gaf, sheen, fa, and that means to remove. So fayakshifu, so he removes, ma, whatever, tad'una, you all call, ilayhi, to, he, him. In, if, sha'a, he willed, wa, and tansauna. Nasi is the root word here, noon seen, and that means to forget. Ta in the beginning means you, and auna ending tells us that this word is plural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people. Tansauna, you all forget. Ma, whatever, tushrikun, you all do shirk. That's the root word, sheen, ra, kaf, and that means to associate partners with Allah. Ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So, ma, whatever, tushrikun, you all associate partners with Allah. Walaqad, wa, and la, surely, qad, in fact. Arsalna, arsal, sent, na, we. And here it means we sent messengers specifically. Ila to umamin, nations. Min from qabilika. Qabili before ka, you. And again, the ka is singular. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Min qabilika, from before you. Fa akhadnahum. Fa is the prefix and it means so. Akhadna. Khud is the root word and that means to take or seize. Na means we. Akhadna, we seized whom, them, bil ba'sa'i, be with al the ba'sa'i, hardships or disasters. Wa and ad-dara'i, the pains. La'allahum, la'alla, so that hum, they, yatadara'un, they become humble. Okay, so they humble themselves. Alhamdulillah. We'll go over the meaning of yatadara'un in more detail when we cover the tafsir, inshallah. Now we'll start the tafsir of these ayat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So up till ayah number 36, in the past few ayat that we've been studying, we learned many lessons from those ayat. And those ayat proved how short this life is. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the things people do in this life in one ayah, and then right away in the next ayah, he tells us what will happen to them on the Day of Judgment. Okay, so that's exactly how the life of this world and the hereafter are. Because this life ends very quickly. It's very short. And then comes the hereafter. And these ayat also remind us that for every action, there's a reaction. Whatever people do or say here in life will impact what happens to them when they're standing on the ground of Hashr on the Day of Judgment. And when we, and before we get there, we all have just this one chance. Just like people do when they play a game, and then that's it. That's how this life is like a game, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this life is like a game and play. So we have to do whatever we can now while we have this one chance. Once it's over, it will be too late to change anything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us so we don't waste our lives away, and may He grant us the tawfiq. to do the best deeds that will please Him. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. The upcoming lessons, the ayat that we're going to cover today, they will show us how caring and how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is towards us. And we'll understand why certain things happen in our lives and how there's divine wisdom in whatever He decrees, whatever He decides for us. We don't understand the messages He sends us through the events that take place in our lives, but His messages that He sends for us, they're like coded messages, and we have to basically uncode them. We have to try to understand why certain things happen, things that we don't like, why we experience them. And inshallah, we'll try to figure out some of the reasons today. وَقَالُوا, and they said, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ, why has a sign not been sent down to him? مِن رَبِّهِ, from his Lord. This is what the mushrikeen of Makkah said about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learned already that they kept asking him for signs. And that means that they asked for miracles. They wanted to see clear miracles. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in ayah number 35 that He has decided not to show them a miracle. And He said that if Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam really wanted to perform a miracle for them, he should try to climb a ladder to ascend the sky or dig a tunnel in the ground to try to do so. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decided that He wouldn't show them a miracle. And that ayah was strict towards Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It sounded stern, but it shows us that the decree of Allah, the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not change once He has decided something. The mushrikeen of Makkah were actually asking for a miracle because they just wanted to cause problems for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were already determined that they weren't going to accept Islam. They already knew that. They just wanted to give him a hard time. And they had figured out that whenever they asked him to perform a miracle, he wasn't able to respond to them in any way. He couldn't say anything back to them. So they just used that to trouble him. So they used to say that if he was a true messenger of God, he shouldn't have a problem performing a miracle for them, that it should have been easy for him. They were stubborn and they started annoying him by asking why he wasn't able to show a miracle. Okay, why a sign was not sent to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah responds to them and He says, do they really think He can't show those people a miracle? Qul, say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ يُنَزِّلَ آيَةً, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is surely able to send down a sign if He wants. It's not that He cannot do it. He can send down a sign. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but most of them don't understand the wisdom behind it. They don't know what would happen to them if a miracle was shown to them. They don't know that if they reject Islam, even after seeing a clear sign, their whole community would be wiped off of the face of the earth. They would be destroyed because of their disbelief after seeing the miracle. And He wanted to give them more time because He knew that some of them would accept Islam eventually. There was so much khair for them in this decision. And we know that many of them became true believers afterwards. They became the Sahaba of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But sometimes people just want something to happen right away. Right? And especially when we're trying to convey the message to others, sometimes we just want to be able to show them something or say something to make them listen, or just somehow make the truth evident to all. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when someone is going to accept Islam or when they're going to obtain guidance. We want to show people a sign quickly so they listen, but He knows when each person would listen. So there is wisdom behind whatever He does. He knew that many of the mushrikeen, the polytheists of Makkah, would listen and accept Islam, but they just needed more time. He knew that they're just asking for a miracle to cause issues for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But He knew that if they got what they asked for right away, if they saw a miracle, it would lead to their destruction, because they would not have another chance after seeing that clear miracle. If they rejected, then they would not be given a second chance. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجِنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. And there is no living thing on this earth, and nor any bird that flies with its two wings in the air, except that they are communities like you, like all of you. All these animals have their own species. They have their own worlds, okay? Like the ants, they have their own community. And the lions have their own too. All living things have their own communities, their own nations. Birds have their own species too. People who study birds know how many kinds of birds exist within a certain species. There are so many different types. So just saying birds does not mean that they're all the same. There are many different kinds of birds. And if we think about fish, there are so many different kinds of fish in the water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that each of these species have their own world. Don't people notice that? He tells the mushrikeen, if you really want to see the signs of Allah, just look at any living creature. If you wanted to, you would be able to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after seeing these signs. You would recognize Him. All you have to do is look. Don't people remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they look at a bird, when it flies in the sky? Doesn't it make them think, why can't I fly? Right? It's by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that that bird flies. Or all the other creatures that walk on the earth, they can't fly. And humans can't either, but the birds do fly. Isn't that a sign of Allah? The more we study the birds and animals, the more we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how capable He is of doing anything. He is all able, subhanallah. There are systems that He has set up for each of the living things. If we take the example of ants, there are colonies of ants that they live in. They have a queen and they follow a whole system that keeps them really organized. And it's really amazing, subhanallah. So when we look at them, they're not just walking around aimlessly. They're doing their work. They're either collecting food or whatever other task they're sent to do. Same thing with the bees. They have a queen bee and they work very hard in such an organized manner to collect nectar to make honey, subhanallah. They have a whole system too that they follow, a process. These creatures prove to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all able. These are signs of Allah. How can people ask for signs when they see birds and animals around them and they look at how they function? All they have to do is reflect. ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء. We have not left out anything from the book. From which book? From the word kitab in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be referring to the Quran or the Lawhi Mahfuz. And if the word kitab means the Quran, it's because He has told us everything about our religion in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has not left out anything from it. But the Quran doesn't have all types of knowledge, right? For example, the Quran doesn't teach us how to do math problems or details about the human body that doctors study, right? So how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that He has written everything in this book? How is it possible? That's because He doesn't say that He has given knowledge of everything in this world in this book. Okay, everything that's worldly, He has not given us knowledge of that in this book. That's not what He says. Everything, He says He has not left out anything from the book. Okay, so everything can mean the complete knowledge of deen, because that's what this Quran has in it. It has complete knowledge of Islam. The ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are about religion. And in the Quran, He has told us about everything that we need to know to be able to practice Islam. He has mentioned everything. Okay, and again, that doesn't necessarily mean all worldly things. Okay, all the types of knowledge we need to survive in this world. But He tells us everything about deen in this book. And that doesn't mean that He goes into detail about everything in the Quran, even about things that we learn about religion, right? He doesn't explain everything in detail in the Quran. Like, if someone says that the Quran doesn't tell us how to praise Allah, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us through the sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to pray. And what is the sunnah? The sunnah is the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did things. And the way he did things is basically obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obeying the Rasul is listed in the Quran too. Okay, that's an order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran. So we must do it. And indirectly, whatever people learn from the sunnah is mentioned in the Quran. So He has not left out anything from the book. He told us whatever we need to know to live on this earth and follow His laws. Okay, He has told us all these things in the Quran. That's one meaning of the word kitab in this ayah. Now, the second meaning of the word kitab may be the Lawhi Mahfuz. That's the book in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything in. He has written about all living creatures, animals, birds, humans, jinnat, everything in that book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all these creatures are like us. Okay? Animals, birds, jinnat, they are creatures like us, and they walk around. They eat food to survive. They have babies. They're like us. The knowledge of all those creatures is in the book with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lawhi Mahfuz. He doesn't forget to provide rizq, meaning sustenance or provision, for any of these creatures. And He listens to whatever each one of them says, whatever they need, He knows. Remember how an ant was saying something when Sulaiman alayhi salam was approaching with his army? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard what that ant was saying, and he told Sulaiman alayhi salam what the ant said. The Hudhud, the bird we learn about in the same surah, that bird knew that there's a queen committing shirk somewhere, and he came back after seeing her to tell Sulaiman alayhi salam about her. So all these creatures are just like us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of all of them. He knows when they come to life, when they're born, how to provide for them and protect them. He has knowledge of all these things, and it's all written in His book. We learn from another part of the Quran, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no living thing on the earth that Allah is not responsible for providing for. The Lohi Mahfuz has all the details about all the creatures, about how they will live, where they're going to die, what their names are, how many there are, and what they do. All these details are listed in the Lohi Mahfuz. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all these things. The pen has been dried, so nothing else will be written in the Lohi Mahfuz now. This means that everything has been determined already about when someone will be born, when they'll die, and everything else. Allahu Akbar. That's how vast His knowledge is, His ilm. Nothing is left out. He knows everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are many creatures out there who we don't provide for, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them. He listens to the slightest whispers, and He knows about everything, the big things and the small things, the significant things He knows about too. The Lohi Mahfuz is basically a book with all the records. Okay, the record of all living things. So the record already exists of all living things, the birds, the animals, everything, just like ours, because they will be reckoned on the Day of Judgment too, as well as humans. Okay? So we all know that humans are going to be reckoned, right? There's going to be an account taking for us on the Day of Judgment. But the animals and birds are going to be reckoned too. And of course the jinnat. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, 1 year out of the two, when Umar radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa, locusts were nowhere to be seen. So he was worried. He sent men to Syria, Iraq, and Yemen to ask if there were locusts around there that year or not. When the messenger who was sent to Yemen came back, he brought a handful of locusts that he put in front of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu said takbir 3 times when he saw, and he said, I heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created 1,000 ummas, and 600 of them are in the water, 400 on land. Locusts will be the first to be wiped out of all the ummas or species before the Day of Judgment. Then other species will start being wiped off of the earth. That's one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يُحْشَرُونَ. Then they shall be gathered before their Lord. Now, who is this about? Who will be gathered before their Lord? All the species, the humans, animals, birds, everything. We learn in one part of the Quran, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ, and when the wild animals will be resurrected, when the animals are gathered, they will be gathered too before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Imagine that. When we are gathered before Him, There will be animals standing there too with us. All living creatures will be gathered there. Even the newborn that died right after birth will be there. Even flies will be gathered. We think they're so insignificant, right? Because they're so small, but they're going to be gathered there too. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, when animals are made to stand on the Day of Judgment, they will be reckoned too. So how is their account taking going to happen? From Musnad Ahmad, we learn about the example of two goats that were fighting. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw them, he asked Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, do you know why they're fighting? And Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said that he didn't know. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why, and he will decide between them on the Day of Judgment. So justice will be done. That's why we learn the hadith about the goat without horns that will take revenge from the one with horns on the Day of Judgment. Okay? The one that hits the other one with its horns will have to pay for what it did. This should help us understand how important it is for creatures to fulfill their responsibilities towards others, especially us humans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that living things are given their rights on the Day of Judgment. Animals won't have a Jannah or Jahannam like us as a result of their wrongdoing, right? Or as a reward. But even for animals, if one wrongs another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the other one get back at it on the Day of Judgment. Okay? Because Allah is the most just, and He enables living things to get their due rights. So it's really serious when someone is unjust towards others. It's a serious matter. So being unjust is such a big crime that even if a goat with horns butts another goat without horns, it won't get away with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them both stand on the Day of Judgment and tell the one that was hit to hit it back. Think about how important it is to be just towards other people. We can't think that we can do whatever we want and get away with it. Subhanallah. Even animals are not allowed to do whatever they want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us intellect and understanding as humans. We have intellect, and He has set up systems to punish or reward us in the hereafter. So how can we think that we can be unfair to someone and won't be seized for it? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated a hadith where he said, all kinds of animals and birds will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Justice will be done between them. To the point that if a goat had butted with its horns another goat without horns, the other one will do the same thing to it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them all to turn to dust, and that's when disbelievers will say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. Oh, I wish I would turn to dust too. Allahu Akbar. And why are they going to say that? Why would humans say that? Because they'll see the punishment ahead for themselves. And they would wish that they turned to dust like the animals did too. Right? They would want to turn to dust like the animals after justice is done. Because that would have been much easier than the adab, the punishment humans will face for their sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather all the animals to Himself too, like He will gather humans. وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and those who rejected our ayat, صُمٌّ وَبُكْمٌ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, are deaf and dumb, living in many layers of darkness. We don't see the word omyun with summun and bukmun here, right? Like we did before. Instead, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they're deaf and they can't speak and they're in darknesses. He says, فِذُّلُمَاتِ. He has granted them the light of guidance, right? They have the Quran. Messengers came to them with the message, but they wander around in darkness. They are in dhulumat. The people who don't want to hear the truth are living, right? But they act like they're deaf. And those who don't want to speak the truth are basically like people who can't speak. They live in the darkness. And the reason for that, وَمَنْ يَشَاءَ إِلَّهُ يُضْلِلْهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confounds whom He wills. He lets them go astray. وَمَنْ يَشَاءَ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And He guides to the right way whomever He pleases. A lot of people object to the first part of this ayah because shaitan whispers things to them. So they say that they're not at fault for not obtaining guidance because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose not to guide them. But they miss what the first part of the ayah says, which told us that they deny His ayat. They deny the ayat of Allah and they want to remain deaf and dumb, and they want to stay in the darkness, so He doesn't guide them for that reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about both ways, the good and the bad. He told us what it means to follow the right path or the wrong one, right? He has made it all clear to us. Now, whichever path we choose is the one He opens up for us. He eases that path for us. He makes it easy to follow. And He won't force anyone to follow the right path if they don't want to do it. If someone chooses to follow the wrong path, that path expands for them. It becomes easier. And if someone chooses the right path and they want to follow it, then He opens up that path for him or her. And it becomes easier for that person to follow that path. And nobody can blame Allah for their misguidance. If someone says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala led them astray, na'udhu billah, they're basically saying what shaitan did when he said that Allah led him astray. When he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he didn't bow before Adam alayhi salam, he didn't prostrate before him when Allah ordered him to in Jannah, and he was expelled from there for disobeying Allah, he blamed Allah for his own disobedience. Astaghfirullah. When someone says that they mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unjust, when they say that Allah has led them astray, na'udhu billah. When it comes to things in life, anything people go through, any loss they suffer because of someone else, they try to get back at people for their actions, right? If they wrong them in any way, they want to get back at them. They don't say that, oh, Allah has willed for it to happen, so it's okay. But when it comes to obtaining guidance, they don't care to seek guidance, and then they blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not guiding them. And it just doesn't make sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads people to whatever they really want to do. He has given us that freedom to choose our path now. We have to want guidance in order to obtain it. He doesn't force anyone to follow the right path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow the sirati mustaqim, the right path, and get to the right destination, which is Jannah. And it's very important because that's our eternal life. May He enable us to follow that path. Amin, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us to ask for the Sirat al-Mustaqim every single day. We say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, so many times a day in our prayer. And we're saying, guide us on the right path. Because it's very important. So we should ask for it. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُكُمْ إِنْ أَتَاكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ. Ask them to think carefully and answer. When you face a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning a disaster, أَوْ أَتَتْكُمُ السَّاعَةُ, or the last hour approaches you, meaning the day of judgment. Or it can mean the time of someone's death. Because as soon as we die, the day of judgment basically starts for us, right? Because life is over for us. So if I were to die today, the day of judgment would basically start for me. So he says, if a torment of Allah comes to you, or death, أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَدْعُونَ, do you call for help anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful, right? He asks for that answer. The first people to be addressed in this surah were the mushrikeen of Makkah, the polytheists who lived there. They used to travel on ships sometimes. If there was danger or they felt like the ship would drown, they called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they were polytheists. They didn't call their idols then, like their Hubal or their Lat or Uzza. They only called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. After the conquest of Makkah, Ikrimah bin Abu Jahl ran off because he was supposed to be killed wherever he was found. So he ran off to Jeddah on a ship, which got caught in a storm at sea. At first, people started calling their idols. But when they realized that they're just going to die and their idols wouldn't help them, they started calling out to Allah alone. They knew that their idols are not capable of helping. They said, call Him, call Allah, because nobody else can save us. Ikrimah said to the people, you are saying to call out to Allah alone now, the one and only Allah. This is what the man was telling you to do before, right? This is what he was telling you. And he was referring to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, this is what the man was telling you to do too. Why? Why are you saying to call one Allah now? And they told him, because none else can help us now. Ikrimah had promised himself at that point that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him on that day, that if he survived, he would go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accept Islam right away after he got off the ship. And he did accept Islam. So when disaster strikes, even atheists start calling out to God. That's just natural. Even if they don't believe in God otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has programmed us that way to recognize the one and only God, right? So we call out to Him. Somewhere inside us, we all know, as humans, we know that He is the only one who would help. That's why they call out to Him, only Him, when disaster strikes. They don't call out to others. People say, oh God, when there's turbulence on an airplane or when an earthquake strikes, they call out to God. Muslims start reading the Shahada when calamity strikes. They don't call religious people saints or Ali radiallahu anhu like some do at other times. They don't ask them for help. They only call Allah at that time. Because we are programmed for Tawheed. We are programmed to only believe in one Allah. And that's natural for us to call out to Him unconsciously whenever we're stressed or in some sort of trouble. That's why we say, Ya Allah, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the polytheists of Mecca, if you are really truthful, do you call anyone else besides Allah when you're in trouble? When you're really stressed out? If you believe that your idols are true and they can do something to help you, or that they're capable of doing anything for you, why don't you call them? You all call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're in trouble and you need help. Why don't you admit that He is the one and only God? Are you just waiting for a punishment, the day of judgment, or your time of death to come? When we go through problems in life, we call people for help, right? When we go through everyday problems, we ask others for help. But when we go through something very stressful, something that really overwhelms us, that really troubles us, or when disaster strikes, we only call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then. Only His name comes to mind. We don't even think about anyone else. بَلْ إِيَّاهُ تَدْعُونَ. Rather, you only call out to Him. None else. You only invoke Him then. فَيَكْشِفُ مَا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ إِنْ شَاءَ. Then He relieves you from affliction about which you have prayed to Him, if He pleases. He removes that hardship from you that you were facing. This means that He is the only one who removes affliction. Even for people who commit shirk. For people who commit shirk and associate partners with Him, He is the one who removes their affliction and suffering. Sometimes we tell others to make dua for us as Muslims, right? Because we think we are really sinful and we're not good enough. So we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not listen to us. But think about this. He tells us that He is the one who fulfills the needs of the polytheists too. He removes their difficulties from them when they call out to Him, even though they associate partners with Him. So whatever people call out to Him for, He removes that hardship from them. If He wills, when disaster strikes and people call Allah alone, وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ, and you forget those whom you have set up as His partners, then they don't invoke their Lat or Uzza for help. Right? These were the idols of the Mushrikeen of Mecca, and they didn't invoke them for help when disaster struck. Anyone who calls out to another for their needs besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like when they ask for children or other things, they should remember that they only invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when calamity strikes, right? When they're really in need of His help, they only call Him. And He is the only one who helps in all situations. They shouldn't be calling out to others for other things. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about His law, an amazing rule. And it shows how merciful He is towards us. He tells us what He does when we distance ourselves from Him, how He sends His coded messages to us to call us back to Himself out of mercy for us. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. And certainly, in fact, we sent messengers before you to other nations. The ka in قَبْلِكَ refers to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He sent Rasuls to other nations before Him too, before Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now after the word qabilika, just write the word fakadhabu for yourself in parentheses, just so you understand properly. The word isn't written there, but it's understood that this is what it actually means. So when the messengers before were sent to nations, people rejected them. People didn't listen to them or accept their message. They belied them. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ Then we seized them. We afflicted them. بِالْبَأْسَاءِ With hardships, disasters, suffering, illness. This is what happened to the mushrikeen of Makkah too when there was a famine there. So ba'sa are hardships or pains that don't cause any loss. And then what dara'i means an adversities, losses of life and wealth. So dara are things that cause loss. He sends punishments that are small, like illnesses, famine, poverty. They're not punishments as big as the whole nation being wiped out, right? Because we learned that there were nations before that were wiped out completely from the face of the earth. But He sends hardships that are not as bad. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ So that they might become humble. So why does He send hardships? So people humble themselves. So people bow before Him. The word yatadarraun is really interesting. It's an amazing word. Dari is a tree branch with no leaves on it. It's really insignificant and people don't value it. Now, the person who does the darra is like that branch. Okay, because that person is really humble, bows with humility, considers themselves weak and needy. That person is not arrogant. That person is not full of themselves. So the darru is humility that includes khushu and khudu. And khushu and khudu means to have a humble, to have a tranquil and focused heart that's directed entirely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where everything else becomes insignificant. And the entire body becomes humbled and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the state of the heart that's really humble. And our posture and body should show humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like our heart. And when someone has tadarru, that person humbles themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that they think there's nothing good in that person. They think there's nothing good about them. And they don't think they're important. They believe that they're nothing and they're very insignificant, like the branch of that tree that bows and has no leaves on it. So just like that branch, that person lowers himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same way. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends pains, when He sends stress and loss to people, like when someone gets ill or experiences poverty or loss of lives, it's so they humble themselves before Him. So maybe they would show humility. The people before were arrogant and they didn't listen to their messengers. When people are arrogant like that, when they have takabbur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send down angels to warn them, to tell them that they have become distant from him and they need to turn back to him. That if they don't turn back, they're going to go through hardships as a result. That doesn't happen because the messengers already conveyed the message. They have warned everyone already. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent messengers to guide people, it was with love and kindness that the messengers tried to guide people. They cared for them and did it in a gentle way, but people didn't listen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became strict with people, and then he sent pains and loss to people. Okay, he made them experience loss, some sort of loss in life. So they experience suffering and adversity. And when pain and loss comes to people, it's not always a form of punishment for them. Okay, because it's actually meant to make people think about their actions and why they're acting the way they do. So when we experience grief and pain, we usually get so much closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than we do at other times in our lives. I'm sure you must have experienced it. I have as well. When we are stressed, we usually call him in a way that we never do otherwise. That's how most people are. But there are some people that we're going to learn about later who still don't do that. Even when they go through hardships, they're careless. They act like it doesn't matter. They don't change in any way. They don't call out to Allah. But most people do implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during tough times. They call out to him, they invoke him, and they humble themselves before him. This is why he sends hardships to us sometimes, to make people who distance themselves from him draw nearer, so they can get closer to him. Because when people forget about the message of Allah, or they distance themselves from him, or they forget about him, he sends difficulties. So perhaps they would turn to him and humble themselves. The society we live in makes people forget about Allah. Okay, it makes us take Allah for granted, not be focused or devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. Okay, to not be focused on obeying him, even though we have copies of the Quran at home. And there are people around who try to guide us. We don't benefit from them at times. And when that happens, he afflicts us with suffering. So we turn back to him. So even that suffering or pain that we experience becomes a blessing in disguise. When we go through such difficulties, it seems like it's something bad that we're experiencing, right? We don't enjoy it, but it's actually better that he sends that difficulty to us now to try to get us back on track. Instead of us continuing to do something wrong which would lead to Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends difficulties to nations as a whole to make them turn back to him. And he also does this to individuals. Okay, that's why as individuals we go through hardships in life. So when he sends hardships our way, when we experience any sort of pain, we should think about what we're doing and try to turn back to him. We should remember that he sends hardships to help us turn back to him, to help us reform ourselves and get back on Sirat-i Mustaqim, the right path, before it's too late. Inshallah, we'll continue with these ayat next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.